Amen. Praise his name. Let's all stand together, if you will. Just bow our heads as we open the service. Father, Lord, we do deem this a grand privilege. Lord, it's wonderful to have a little place we can gather together. And Lord, to gather around your word, have you speak to us. Lord, to prick our hearts. And Lord, give us something to judge ourselves by and measure up. Lord, where we stand today. Lord, in this late hour, Father, your coming is so near. Father, we need to check ourselves and be sure where we stand before you. And Lord, we just ask that you would just bless us. Bless us with revelation today, Lord, everyone that's gathered. Open our hearts, meet our individual needs. And Lord, may you get the glory and honor and everything. Now bless the service, Father, every phase, the songs, Lord, that prepare our hearts. And Lord, the truly coming of thy word, may every word be spoken only that which you want, Lord, and may we receive. We ask this in your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Praise his name. Amen. Is he wonderful to you? You may be seated. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, like starting our big books on page 44. Amen. God leads us along. Be thankful he leads you every step. He's got his hand, his eye on you.
In shady green pastures, so rich and so sweet, God leads his dear children along. Where the waters cool flow, bathes the weary one's feet. God leads his dear children along. Amen. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, shine so bright, God leads his dear children along. Sometimes in the valley, in the darkest of night, God leads his dear children along. Oh, some through the water, some through some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. Though sorrows befall us and Satan oppose, God leads his dear children along. Through grace we can conquer, we feed our foes. God leads his dear children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. Away from the mire and away from the clay, God leads his dear children along. All way up in glory, eternity's day, God leads
Amen. Ain't it wonderful to know he's always with you? Amen. Guiding us, directing us. Amen. Praise his holy name. Page 88. We're in the same little book, sir. Amen. Haven of rest. Hallelujah.
My soul inside exile was out on life's sea, so burdened with sin and distress, till I heard a sweet voice saying, make me your choice, and I entered the haven of rest. Amen. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wild seas no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I'm safe evermore. I yielded myself to his tender embrace, and faith taking hold of the word, my fetters fell off and I anchored my soul. The haven of rest is my Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wild seas no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the in Jesus, I'm safe evermore. The song of my soul and the Lord made me whole has been the old story so of Jesus, who'll save whosoever will have a home in the haven of rest. Oh, I'll anchor my soul in the haven. I'll sail the wild sea no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the wild stormy deep, oh, but in Jesus I'm safe evermore. How precious the thought that we all may recline like John the Beloved and blessed. strong arm where no tempest can harm. Oh, seek your in the haven of rest. I've anchored my soul, oh, in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wild seas no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I'm safe evermore. Oh, come to the Savior, he patiently waits to save my in the haven of rest, and say, my beloved is mine. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. O'er the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I'm safe evermore.
Amen. Are you safe? Are you anchored? Hallelujah. In that haven of rest, leaning on his strong arm. Hallelujah. Oh, he's wonderful. Brother Luke, would you like to come up for the offering? The blessing, if you will.
Lord, we thank you for that blessed assurance you put in our hearts to serve you.
Yes, Lord.
I pray that you sit on our treasure to the word today. Have your perfect will in everything we say and do. Bless the service. Bless us all to live in your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Let the Lord have his way. Amen. In your heart. Hallelujah. Amen.
Let the Lord have his way in your heart every day. Oh, there's no peace, there's no rest until the Lord has his way. Oh, put your life in his hand.
How many wants to let him have his way in your heart? Hallelujah. Do you have a request for him? Something a need on your heart? You hold it on your heart. Brother Philip, would you take the request this morning?
Gracious Lord, as we come to thee at this time, Lord, we just pray, dear God, that you will have your way in our
lives
every day, dear God. And we know, Lord, that if you have your way in our hearts and our lives, Lord, there'll be rest and peace,
yes,
Lord, and God in our hearts, Lord. We pray that each and every one of us here today will yield ourselves continually unto you, Lord, that you might be able to witness in us and through us, Lord, by God, the very life of Jesus Christ in this hour in which we live, that others, Lord, will be able to see, Lord, by God, the life of Jesus Christ in us, Lord. And, oh, we pray today, Lord, as we've gathered here, that every hand was raised, Lord, regardless of the need, Lord, whether it was a spiritual need or a physical need or a material need, we pray, Father, that you should meet that need, Lord. And as you meet that need, Lord, in our lives, Lord, may we not fail, Lord, to witness and testify, Lord, of your goodness and your grace unto us, O Lord. And we pray now, dear God, from the word as it comes forth, that you'd feed our soul today, Lord, and strengthen us and encourage us, Father. And pray the anointing of thy Holy Spirit we have on the passenger, Lord, and voice your word, Lord, and God, may you just open our hearts, Lord, to receive it, Lord, that it might bring forth fruit unto righteousness and holiness, Lord. And we pray now and ask these things all in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated. Amen. Will someone in the audience have a song? Amen. Praise his name. Did you have a song this morning, Karen? I said, you come.
On the day of Pentecost, there in an upper room, the believers were in one mind, one accord. When the Spirit fell from heaven, a rushing mighty wind did sound, and those believers turned the whole world upside down. And God is still the same. Today he hasn't changed, for the prophets saw the same bride go by twice. Led by God alone, the second time she marched on home. Oh, the Alpha and Omega are the same. Oh, that vision cannot fail. That same bride will pass again. Someone's been ordained to give their all to him. To the challenge they will rise. Keep truth's banner flying high. God will prove to them it's the same bride one more time. That mighty wind still blows today, just like it did before. God is making good his promise to restore. In my heart there's a desperate cry to get in step and keep in line, to measure up, for we know that's our final sign. And God is still the same. Today he hasn't changed, for the prophets saw the same bride go by twice. Led by God alone, the second time she marched on home. Oh, the Alpha and Omega are the same. Yes, we're led by God alone, the second time we'll march on home. Oh, the Alpha and Omega are the same. same.
They're still the same.
Let's stand together, please, if you will. Sing a little chorus, Only Believe. Ask our brother to come.
Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible.
Just bow our heads again for a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, again, how great Thou art. Lord, we appreciate You and so thankful in our hearts for what You've done in our lives. Oh God, it's such a privilege this day and this hour to serve a true living God, the God, Lord, the one true God. Oh, we thank You again for Your mercy and Your love You have for us. We ask again today that You would speak to our hearts through the precious Word of God. Lord, help us to see. Give us revelation of the Word of God as it comes forth. Because, Lord, again, as I've said many a times, it's definitely not something I can give, Lord, but it's only You can give revelation. So we ask, Lord, for eyes to have today. Take, Lord, all the scabs off of our eyes so we can see clearly, Lord, what You've done for us in this hour. We all want to commit ourselves to You now, Lord. Me, myself, to service, and Lord, I trust each one that will sit here today will commit themselves to You for the hearing and receiving, and humility, Lord, and humbleness in their heart to receive the Word of God. We ask it again, all for Your glory and all to Your honor. In Your precious name, our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Thank You, Lord. You may be seated for a moment. Praise the Lord. You're happy to be here this morning. Amen. It's just so good to be with you again in fellowship and in love. And trusting today, as we've gathered here today again, we've been as praying on this little subject this morning, that God will reveal it greater into our hearts and make it as big in our hearts as big as it is.
Amen.
Because it's so big. Amen. And anything God does is big. You see, God is so great in all that He does. But if you'll remember the little question I asked some of you there Thursday night, and concerning to kind of prepare you for this little message this morning, that I believe is truly the leadership of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
For even as your answers you gave Thursday night shows that we need this. And I trust that you'll be open and you'll be hungry for it. And you'll listen to the Word, the Scriptures, the prophet, what he's saying. Because again, as ignorant as I am, I cannot give it. It takes the Holy Ghost to give the reality of this in your heart. But I'll just kind of rehearse because some wasn't here, but just kind of the questions I ask. And I kind of sit as a family, you know, because we are one big family in God. And so we're not strangers to each other, and we love each other, and we're there to help each other. And we always want to be in one mind and one accord in everything that God wants us to be in truth and righteousness and follow His ways. But in thinking of this, I want to just kind of read these questions to you again of what I asked Thursday night. And some of you give the answers. They didn't call for everybody, but just kind of went around to some of the brothers, asked them to give just what was on their heart when I asked them about this. But one of the questions was, and simple as it is, how do you know that you're going to heaven? That was one of the questions. How do you know you're going to heaven? And, of course, you know, some of their answers, you know, was, well, because I'm trusting what God said, you know, and if the life is in me, the token on display, basically, then I know that I'm in Christ and I'm going to heaven. And that's true, absolutely true. And then the other question was, do you know how, right now, how you stand before God? If you had to stand before God, do you know exactly how you stand before God? Now again, some of us may be sitting here today and thinking, well, I'm brave and I'm tough and I'm a son of God and I know where I'm at in God. But nobody did that. And it's probably a good thing. Because sometimes if we answer that way and don't really have the truth, then we're a hypocrite. You know? So it's probably a good thing that we got the answers we did. That, you know, different ones saying that I feel short, you know, and I still see need in my life. And see where I need God and things in my life. And that's good. Because you always should see your need before the Lord. You see? But again, God had a purpose in me doing that and asking those questions. And you've got to remember, saints, again, as I renew your mind, the prophet showed us that we have to have absolutely no doubt when that rapture takes place. We can't be fumbling around and wondering and looking maybe at our past life and how could I be and how could I be this and how could I be that and not really fully 100% knowing exactly where you stand with God. And even though we may make a mistake, we may do something wrong. And we know there's always going to be those people that, you know, that, well, I'll make all the mistakes I want to because I know the blood of Jesus Christ is there. We know that person isn't even born again. They didn't have any more understanding of the word than anything. You know? It's just not even there. There's no reality, you see. We find those that truly love God and love Him with all their heart wouldn't want to do anything at all to hurt Him. Amen. They wouldn't want to do anything contrary to that word. And Satan may trap them into something. And they may make a mistake. But immediately they want to put it under the blood of Jesus Christ and clean their life up and be an overcomer. So also they can meet the scripture where it says the overcomer shall sit with him. See, they don't want no word missing. They want to live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now, we as people oftentimes deal with the word God has given us. Sometimes the Holy Ghost has a way of showing us. Sometimes we still don't have the revelation of some things that we think maybe we did, you see. And I believe this is one of them things, you know, if we got a revelation of it, then we're going to be able to match what God truly said about it. Amen. So again, as I asked those questions and we got our answers and so forth, and you know, any that wasn't here Thursday night, and even the ones Thursday night that was here that maybe I didn't call upon, and you didn't have any opportunity to answer. But you could still see, even though you didn't have that opportunity, and if I didn't ask anybody today, the direction everybody was thinking. You see? But God wants you to think in a way that maybe you never thought of. Maybe you thought about it, but maybe it just didn't 100% applied like it has to be. Now remember, if we even want a healing, we've got to come before God without condemnation. For if our heart condemns us, then we ain't going to get what we asked for. And Brother Branham showed us some perfect faith that oftentimes that's why people don't get what they want, because their heart's condemned. And they've put themselves back a sinner because they keep doing things that's wrong. You know, that overcoming isn't there. You know, they'll do things wrong and never overcome. You see? Now remember, I'm a man that don't hide things, and I don't throw no punches, you know, without making them count. But that's some of our problems right here, is some of the people here today. You're not an overcomer. If you want me to come right down, now if I can do it, what do you think the Lord could do? But if I can come down and face you and say, and point something out and say, this is the same thing you was doing 20 years ago, and you still haven't overcome it. Now it shows there's a need there. And it shows that a person like that is not going to get anything from God. They're going to fumble through this message and through the remainder days of their life in misery. Because there's nothing on the inside to really, the control tower is not there to cause them to overcome. Remember, the old control tower that used to be there, if we are born again, the old control tower that used to be there, that old nature, then that's what all those things operated by. But if I have been born again, then that nature of God inside of me now is to cause an overcoming to quit those things that was done under that old nature. See? Well, say, well, I don't have to overcome everything. Well, if we don't, the thing of it is, we're not scripturally right.
Amen.
As you face things, and if you have no desire to overcome it, there's something wrong. You don't have Christ on the inside to overcome that for you. Because if Christ is in you, He will overcome all these things. You see? So like I say, but people, even though they've been the message for years and years and years, and that's what we're beginning to see with a lot of people throughout the land. It's people that is got attached to this message clear back in the late 60s. Sometimes some of them when Brother Branham was still here. A lot of them has passed away. But now they've attached themselves to the message, and yet you don't see the results of what that messenger said. You just see them holding the books, holding the tapes, holding the devices to listen to it, and the reality isn't there. But God has a people that He predestinated that the reality of what that messenger brought will come to life. All right? And remember, it has to be the literal life of Jesus Christ. It can't be my life, personally. It can't be you. The way we used to be, it has to be Jesus Christ on display. So like I say, but we all realize now that we were born in sin, shape and iniquity. Is that right? Well, Brother Branham said, we came into this world speaking lies, cheating, having ill feelings towards somebody that we think somebody done something against me, or we think they're have something against me, and I got my feelings hurt, and this, that, and the other. All those childish things we done. But when we receive the new birth and become a man, those childish things should have been put away. See? So here we are now. We're all a people. And everybody sitting here and anybody who would ever listen to this message knows they were born in sin. Oh, yeah. If they try to sit there and say they was never born in sin, friends, they're really, really bad off. Because every man and woman was built or born in sin and iniquity. Cheating, stealing, and all kinds of things. You see? I said, well, I was a good boy. I was a good girl. No, you wasn't. Without Jesus Christ, you was filthy. If you've never done anything wrong, you're still filthy without the blood of Jesus Christ. And without His blood, I don't care if you never made a mistake, He'd still never accept you unless his blood was there to cover you. That's right. Because it's just God's way of doing it. So we find, but we aren't in that condition. We was in the condition of sin. All right? So we all needed a Savior. We all needed Lord Jesus Christ, who died for our sins. We all needed Him. But there's something that goes with this great story of the Lord Jesus Christ hanging on that cross for you and me that we've got to have a reality of as a son or daughter of God. Now, if you'll just bear with me today, and I'll not get through it today, it'd be impossible. But if you'll bear with me and sit there humble and act like you don't know nothing, that you're not a know-it-all, you're not some highfalutin message know-it-all that we have in the message today. We are nobodies without Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And He is the one I need to give me what I need to know. Yeah. I remember Brother Steve can't give it. It takes the Holy Ghost to reveal it to you. And it'll be done, as I mentioned Thursday night, it is in a way of simplicity. It is so simple. It's just, as I begin to go through this and the Lord was dealing with my heart about it, there was times sitting in my study, I just couldn't keep from crying. I thought, oh God, thank you, Lord, for what you give me. Thank you, Lord. You know, because old Brother Steve sits here in his chair, you know, and here he is responsible for bringing the people the Word of God and making sure they get the Word that's needed for the hour, the time that we're in. And it's being brought at the right time. Everything's exactly, everything the way God wants it to be. And then Brother Steve sits there and the Lord lets him see maybe this one ain't right and that one ain't right over here. And they need this to get to that. And they're lacking this understanding. Oh, they've been in maybe 40 years, but they still lack a revelation of it. We say, well, Brother Steve, well, how do you know that? Because if we had the revelation of it, our action would prove we have the revelation of it. It's as simple as it can be. God so designed all this and put it together that there's no way we can speak with our mouth, I've got this, I got that, I can do this, and I'm that, and it show up what we really are. God, that's why God put it together. You can't hide it. It is impossible to hide it. You may be the smartest cookie on the block, but you ain't smart enough to hide that.
Amen.
You can't hide what's on the inside. No. It just comes out. It's a simple phrase, a man speaketh from the abundance of his heart.
Amen.
And that happens so much every day. What comes out of a woman's mouth, a man's mouth, is what's on the inside. Yeah. And you can't hide it. It is absolutely impossible. I'll repeat. Okay? Now I'm going to take and begin to read something here. What the prophet said. And I want you to follow along really good. Are you going to do that?
Amen.
I don't have to do a lot of reading here to start with, but I want you to put you in that position where you can see something. Okay? And what we're going to talk about today, so you can have it in mind, I'll go ahead and mention this. I wasn't going to mention it a little bit later, but we're going to mention it now. And you may think, I know I've got it, Brother Steve. Well, if you do, why don't you act it? That little phrase today is, and I'll title it this morning, True Justification. Oh, come on, Bro Steve. I said true justification. Not a mental justification. A true justification by revelation. Now, Brother Branham said that Luther received a true revelation of justification. And the moment that he was taken off the scene, men got together and turned it into an organization. And they lost the reality of it. Is it possible today that I can believe the message today and not have true dust? Absolutely. Because it has to be revealed to you. Oh, we might sing songs, I'm justified, and praise God, Brother Steve, I know I'm just, and I'm justified, Brother Steve, I know. But remember what I said a little bit ago. Your life, I don't care what you say out of this mouth, is going to prove whether you are or not. Yeah. Okay? So I think it's worthy, something worthy to speak on this morning, because not only but the Holy Spirit is leading us to do so, but there's need for it. And don't think you're too big for it. Because there ain't nobody in here too big and too far long to get today what we're going to bring. Okay? Including myself. This really strengthened me a lot. When I begin to see how this really was and what took place and what God was doing. Again, I want to mention before I go into this, you've got to know exactly who you are, friends, when that rapture takes place. I'm just trying to help you the best I can. Because you ain't going to be able to sit there and fumble all around in doubt when the Lord Jesus comes. He's not even going to come for one like that. No. The rapture is a revelation. Is that right? Amen. You've got to know where you're at, friend. This ain't playing with little children that don't know nothing. This is going to be a people that God has revealed His Word to. For by faith, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. Impossible. Okay? So first, we want to just renew our minds to something. You know, we know there's three steps of grace. There's three steps to being saved and so forth. But I want to mention justified. What the original Greek is, and what Brother Branham said about it. To be freed, or to declare one to be just and righteous. And Brother Branham said, and we'll read it here later, as if the wrong was never happened. As if you never done it in the first place. Now, how can I really, truly know that? That I'm justified. Sanctification, or sanctified, is to separate from profane things and dedicate and consecrate to God to be holy. Brother Branham said in page Future Home, paragraph 91, it sets our mind in order for holiness, to think right, clean, and set aside for service. That's what sanctified is. Clean and set aside for service, not put in service. Sanctification ain't put in service. It sets you aside, it cleans you up, and gets you ready for service. All right? Y'all got that? Okay. So we want to read here first in the third seal. This is paragraph 172. He says, there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, which is Christ, and the Holy Ghost. These three agree in one. He says, they're not one, but they agree in one. And there, he says, and there are three that bear record, or they are one. I mean, I'm mistaken, he says. And the three that bear record on earth is water, blood, and spirit. They agree in one. You can be sanctified without being justified. And you can be justified without being sanctified. And do you know a lot of people, that's as far as they came with sanctification? And they don't realize it, and they think they're born again. Yeah. And you know you can go years like that? Yeah. You can go years under sanctification and not receive the new birth. Okay? You can be sanctified without receiving the Holy Ghost. It's exactly. The disciples, John 17:17, was sanctified and given power to cast out devils, still didn't have the Holy Ghost. I remember they was casting out devils. The Lord Jesus gave them that power. Sure, had to go up to Pentecost and wait till the Holy Ghost come. That's where Judas showed his colors. But when the Holy Ghost come, what did Judas do? He showed his collars. Showed his collars what? He wasn't genuine. He couldn't hold to the word. Is that right?
Amen.
Absolutely it is. Excuse me. See how that spirit worked its way through justification and sanctification? But when it come to the end, he showed his collar. What was the end? He's talking about when the Holy Ghost came. When the Holy Ghost came on the genuine, their lives turned completely around. Yeah. But when Judas, standing there, when the Holy Ghost came down, before it came down, he looked like the rest of them. Is that right? Did not he cast out devils? That's right. Done the same thing as the other disciples did. But it took the Holy Ghost coming in genuine to cause the other sanctified ones, the ones that was given power, to show their collars. Okay? You follow me so far? All right. So we find, he said, when it come to the end, he showed his collars. All right? Now, I just wanted to put that in there, so we'll begin to read this now from the message, Pardon. This was October 28, 1963. And the prophet read the scripture, and if you will, let's all stand. We'll give honor to the scripture reading this morning. He's reading Romans 8:28, and he reads down the 32nd verse. Romans 8:28 down to the 32nd verse. Are you still bearing with me? You follow me? All right, hang on with me now. Don't get your mind on anything, but listen to this word. Excuse me. And we know that all things work together for good. Just think of that. To them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. Now notice the ones who's justified. Them whom He called. Pay attention to that. Okay. And to whom He justified, now notice, whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? All things. Think of that. Amen. All right, may the Lord bless reading this word. You may be seated. All right. With that scripture in mind, now the prophet goes in to speak in here something. And of course, the message is titled Pardon. And I want you to think about this. And as he begins to bring forth this little story of Abraham Lincoln and this man that was supposed to be shot because of the lack of performing the duty he was to do back in the Civil War. I want you to think about this, and I want you to think of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can think about the pastor or the preacher. And you can think about yourself. Because remember, there was one that went to the Lord Jesus Christ, or one that went to Abraham Lincoln, and told Abraham Lincoln, there's a good man that's going to be shot if you don't do something for him. You all know the story, but I'm going to read it to you. I want you to think about it. And I think that's the glorious word, a glorious word, talking about pardon, to be pardoned. Because we are all guilty of sin, aren't we all?
Amen.
We was all guilty of sin, friend. Every last one of us was guilty of sin in our lives. We all sin and come short of the glory of God. Through His Son, He pardoned us from this guilt of iniquity and sin. Through His Son, He pardoned us. All right, through the Lord Jesus Christ, He pardoned us of our sin and iniquity. But if I really accepted this by revelation, or as my lips just can speak it because I can remember what Scripture says, or I remember what Brother Branham says, there's what we're going to talk about today. Okay? He says here, and a pardon reminds me of a story I read once of a revolution. I thought it was Civil War. I'm sorry. I was thinking of it. Revolutionary War, I believe it was. There was a man, a soldier, a foot soldier, that had did something. The courts had found him guilty, and he was sentenced to be shot. I believe it was neglecting his posted duty in time of battle. And he was going to be killed by a firing squad. And that, you all know that's the way it used to be. If you turned your back and ran in the time of battle, they'd just shoot you. All right? They wasn't going to tolerate having some chicken in the army or the war. They just turned around and they shot you. Thought you were no good to start with if you're going to run and not defend your country. So he was going to be killed at a firing squad. And one fellow felt so sorry for him, this man, until he finally made his way to the great President Lincoln. Lincoln, being a Christian gentleman, they said he was riding up in his carriage when the messenger met him. And he fell upon his knees and said, "Mr. Lincoln, President of the United States, kind sir," he said, "I ask mercy for one knowing that you are a Christian and know that you have tenderness in your heart for the weary." He said, My friend was at the post of duty where he was stationed. But when the guns was a-roaring and the cannons firing, he got scared and left the post of duty. And Mr. Lincoln, he didn't mean to do it. He's a good man. And now in a week from this day, he must die by a firing squad. There's no way to save him except you will sign his pardon. I want you to think about it now. There was no way we could be saved unless God was to do what he'd done through his son. It was impossible. We may sit here today and we may think, "Well, I deserved it because I know I'm a son of God." I'm going to tell you what, by what any of us has done, none of us deserved it. No. It was all by grace. Because the Scripture says, "For by grace you are saved." All right? So we realize it's God's grace that He died on that cross and signed the pardon in His blood for you and for me. It was a work of grace and mercy. Right? I don't think it would be any of us want to stand on that day before the Lord and say, thank you for dying on that cross for me, Lord. I deserved it. I know I did because I'm a part of you. I knew you had to do it for me. I don't think so. No. Because you're going to see it's truly by grace. And you're going to truly see it's by His mercy that He done for you what He did. But now what good's all that going to do if I don't really have it revealed to me that He did it for me? And I'm standing there in a position, I hope He did it for me. I trust He did it for me. But what if it's been revealed that you know that by His grace He did it for you? Brother Steve, I've got it whipped. I know where you're going right now, and I know He did it for me. Well, why don't your life show it? We'll see a little later on what I'm talking about. Okay? All right? Let's go on. He says here, all right, he says, Mr. Lincoln, with tears in his eyes, pulled a piece of paper from his brief and wrote on it there, "I, Abraham Lincoln, pardon this man of such and shall not die, and signed his name on it. It was so simple. And just a piece of paper. It was signed on a piece of paper. Not no high golden laced document with fancy letters on it and everything. It was just, "I, Abraham Lincoln, pardon this man. He must not die. He's forgiven." There's something glorious wrote on that paper. But if I don't accept that and have it revealed to me that it's for me, it's just a piece of paper. It's a Bible with pages in it. But if the Lord Jesus Christ somehow will make it real to me, oh, how I might act a little different. Amen. But because it hasn't been revealed, I don't act like I should. You'll see. So see, you're going to have to bear with me, because I'm not going to rush through it. I want you to think about all these things, what I'm saying. Okay? So he says, "And the man gave him God's blessings," because Abraham Lincoln set the man off, that man off again now to go to the one in prison. "And the man gave him God's blessings and returned back to the prison and said to his friend, 'I have your pardon.'" The preacher today can say, "I have your pardon here, right here with me. I've got it right here." And you know, that preacher's been telling us a long time. The prophet has been telling us, that preacher prophet has been telling us for a long time. That Bible has been telling us for a long time. But you know what it is to a lot of people? It's just a piece of paper with words on it. But what if somehow the Holy Ghost, me sitting here today, can reveal something to me? Something so great about this that it will change my life. It'll change my actions about some things. But again, if it continues on to be a piece of paper, nothing happens. It's just me intellectually, "I believe I'm justified, I'm justified, I'm justified." Yeah, in your brain you think you're justified. But where's the revelation of it? Yeah. Okay. Let's go on. And he says here, "I have a pardon, friend." And he pulled it out upon a piece of paper and showed him. And the man said, "Don't mock me. Here I am fixing to die. And then come with such as that? A piece of paper? If it was something from God, it had been something supernatural to me to tell me that I'm justified. So I've got to trust, and you think I can believe that? Oh, I hope that was him, but I can't trust that. I don't believe it. I do not believe it," he says. "I just can't believe it." It was so simple. On a piece of paper. I'm going to tell you what. How simple it is to many today that God can give us His Word and He gives us a preacher and tells me, reminds me about it, and still won't mean nothing. How do you expect me to believe that? It's just words on paper. It's Brother Steve, he's a wrong person anyway, he ain't no good, a preacher. How do you expect me to believe this? And he just kept saying, "That ain't so. It just can't be so. Any man could sign his name Abraham Lincoln. He said, but this is the president's signature, I'm telling you. Can't you see? This is the president's signature. What if sometime in the past that man that was going to be shot would have had the opportunity to see Abraham Lincoln sign another document? And then he could have looked at that signature and he would have recognized it. Huh? What if we somehow could recognize that it's truly God's signature through His Son, the blood of Jesus Christ, that I could recognize? Wow. Talk about a pardon. Talk about justified. There's nothing could make you think anything different. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Is that right?
Amen.
But this man didn't have the opportunity in the past to see Abraham's signature. You know? Everybody seems to have their little thing they do in the signature. That's why it's so known throughout the land. Sign your check, and then banks try to match your signature, and you have to sign the back of a credit card to make sure it's a signature you would sign, all these different things. Well, Abraham Lincoln had his signature, and the Lord Jesus Christ has got His, and nobody can duplicate it.
Amen.
And Satan himself can't duplicate it. No. Because he can't die and shed his blood for man's sin. But the Lord Jesus Christ already died and shed that blood signature for us. Amen. He said, but this is the president's signature. He said, you are pardoned. And he turned his back and walked away. And the man died under the firing squad. And then here a release, he says, and then here, a release from Abraham Lincoln, the president of the United States, to release this man, and yet they shot him. So it was tried in federal courts, and here was the decision. A pardon, you've heard this many times, but may somehow the Holy Ghost make it real in your heart, as simple as it may be. A pardon is not a pardon unless it is accepted as a pardon. Unless it is accepted as a pardon. What would keep me from accepting it? By not having it revealed. For if it had been revealed to this man that was shot, that was truly Abraham's signature, the President of the United States, don't you think he wouldn't have accepted it? Yes, he would. I don't care if it was wrote on a piece of leather. That's the president's signature. Glory, hallelujah. I don't have to die! Oh my. So this tonight that I read, that God gives us all things, which you read in Romans 8, and we read it, 32nd verse, that God gives us all things, and He gives us a pardon. It's pardon to those who want to accept God's word as a pardon. But it only, just as it's read, it don't mean that you're pardoned. Just if you read it. It means that you've got to accept it as your pardon. Personally.
Amen.
That God gave His Son to die in your stead. And then it's a pardon. Release from all guilt. Wow. Release from all guilt. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes to take us home, are you going to be able to stand there and be released from all guilt whatsoever? Huh? Everything? Well, Brother Steve, I'm trusting when that day comes, I will. But what if he comes right now? What if that door opens and one of those saints, slipping saints, walk through that door? Huh? Where's the guilt situation going to be? Oh, we may sit here as big, brave people. Praise God, I know where I stand. But let somebody supernatural stand before you and see how you feel. When you know this is beyond man. This is something God promised He's going to do, and now He's going to do it. Hallelujah. So we stand there not seeing the sleeping saint that came through and coming up the aisle, and maybe someone has seen him and changes in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Maybe one on the other side changes in the twinkling of an eye, and they're gone. I said, where in the world did they go? I didn't even see them walk out. What's going on in here? Maybe then all of a sudden somebody will scream, ah, hallelujah! Gone. Can you imagine what's going on the inside? Trying to bring you to reality, because it's going to happen one of these days. Yeah. It's going to happen because God don't lie and He doesn't change. And there is a people that believe that He is. You see, so it's going to happen. But just think what that old puny mind now is going to go through that thought it was, I got revelation, glory, hallelujah, I'm this and I'm that. The other ones sit there just glowing with the Holy Spirit in their life. Hallelujah. And the actions is coming forth. They know they're justified. That life is coming forth. The token's on display. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. And that old blowfly, just he's blowed all kinds of things out in his life and her life. She's, oh, I'm glory, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer, I'm a message follower, hallelujah. Yeah. And the old blowfly now is sitting there is just scared to death, and their face is getting red. They're feeling chills going down their back, and they're getting scared. What happened to brother so-and-so? He's gone! What was that shallow about when you disappeared? Oh, my. Oh, my. Well, Brother Steve, I'll run to the altar. I'm going to tell you, friend, it'll be too late then. Yeah. It ain't going to do you no good then. You've got to be ready now. Okay? Let's go on. He says here, all right, so tonight that I read, God gives us all things. He gives us a pardon to those who want to accept it. Yes, we read this. We'll move on down. Release from guilt is what we wish to place, or he said, release from guilt is what we wish to place on this. Release from guilt is what we wish to place on this.
Amen.
A pardon from God is a release from guilt. Not the turning away by psychological doctrine or some sort that might some way give you a little feeling that you have done what's right by joining church or taking up some creed, but it's a release from your guilt by the power of Calvary. Hallelujah. Something has released you. Have you really genuinely had that happen? There's no more guilt. He didn't say there's just a little bit of guilt left. He said there's no more guilt. The Bible says, I believe in Romans 5:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Now a man, when he is released from sin, man or a woman, there's no more desire in their heart to walk after the things of the world. Released from guilt? No more desire for the things of the world? Right. He is freely pardoned and becomes a new creature in Christ Jesus. Now, you remember what I was talking about a little bit ago? Maybe doing the same thing we did 20, 30 years ago? I don't see no new creature. I see the same creature that's been sanctified. And I'll show you through the Word that same thing God sees. See? But now we're talking about true justification. Yeah. It's amazing what God does. Amen. It's amazing to see how He does exactly what His Word says. Sharper, quicker and sharper than a two-edged sword. It'll cut going in and cut coming out. But thank God it cuts all the sin business out. Amen. And His affections are set on things that are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. He's freely released. He doesn't have to have some priest to tell Him or some minister to tell Him. He knows in Himself that He's pardoned. Hallelujah. Once this has happened. Because He has accepted it upon the grounds that God sent it to Him through Jesus Christ. What a feeling it is to be free from sin. I wonder, how many of us really have that feeling in our heart? We're free from sin. I'm going to get a little ahead of myself, but we're going to see. Is that why it's so hard for some to worship God in the Spirit? I mean, worship God above and on the inside? When a song's being sung, there is absolutely nothing that melts you on the inside and nothing going out. Just an old Methodist song being sung. I surrender all. I surrender all. Not a speck of life. It's just sing. Like any human being can sing. What about singing in the Spirit? I'm going to tell you what. If you get a real, I'm going to get ahead of myself, but if you really got a revelation of justification in your life, there is no way some of you could sing the way you sing. And there's no way you could sit there and not feel the moving of the Holy Ghost. Absolutely impossible. I don't care if you disagree with me. I'll prove by the Word.
Amen.
Yeah. Oh my. And tell me you know you're justified. I'm going to tell you, God's Word today is going to show you need a revelation of it. For if you did, your life would respond. Let's go on. Got a little ahead of myself, but we'll go to these, get to these things. All right, he says, he is freely pardoned and become a new creature in Christ Jesus, and his affections are set on things that are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. He freely is released. He freely released. He doesn't have to have some priest tell him. I guess read this going down. I was told when the Emancipation Proclamation was signed for the slaves in the South. Now listen to this. Many years ago, that the set time that they were free was at sunup on a certain morning. Okay? When this proclamation was signed, it was set that a certain morning, at a certain time, these slaves could go free. And they all got out from the old plantation, and many of the young men climbed way on top of the mountain. Because they could see the sun come up first. Look how anxious they was. Because they knew when that sun, they seen that sun, they was free. So they climbed the mountain to get to see the sun real right first thing. And then the older men, a little beneath that, and the women and children at the bottom, and they were waiting a long time before daylight. Oh, wow. They wanted to be free, friends. And I don't know if you've, how many of us, I've watched some documentaries and stuff on and read about slaves and so forth, and I think, my, you know, how could human beings treat other human beings like that? They didn't have a heart whatsoever. No wonder old Abraham Lincoln, it was a burden on his heart, you see. It set him free. Hallelujah. And they were waiting a long time before daylight because slave belts, hard, he says, because slave belts and hard trials had marked their life with sorrow. I'm going to tell you what, our lives was marked, friends, with all kinds of belts and trials of life. Filth that we got into. We couldn't be free from it because our desire wasn't right. Oh, we were slaves to the world. Yeah. And they longed for that day that when they knowed that they were pardoned. Hallelujah. And the Emancipation Proclamation said, at this certain day, at sunup, they are free. And they were longing to see that hour when the sun come up. And so anxious till they climb the mountains, he repeats. Oh, if sinners tonight could only be that anxious to know you're pardoned. Have we ever experienced that in our lives, to really be anxious in our heart to know that we were pardoned? Or was it always, I just want to be saved? But how much have we really wanted to know it was pardoned and free from all guilt? Justified. As though we never done it. Oh, it's going to get in something good. If you can hold on. You're pardoned the minute that you accept Jesus Christ your Savior. Then you're pardoned. They said that young men waited, and as soon as the sun began to shine in the east, they screamed down to the older ones, we're free! I wonder how Moses is saying, like, we're free. Praise God, I am free, free, free from this world of sin. I'm so glad that I found out that he would bring me out and show me the way. And not really sing it with enthusiasm. I mean something that's just glowing on the inside. You know what? Don't mean to hurt you, but some in here, I've never seen you singing like that. Like it was free. Yeah. Well, I'm not very emotional, Brother Steve. Wow. I don't know how you could keep from being emotional. Amen. How many times the prophet sit there and just bawl like a baby when the Holy Ghost is showing him something? And so showed him that he was free from something or whatever. You know, he'd have him a good old time, friends. And the Bible's going to show us that too. Yeah. You say, oh, it ain't in there, Brother Steve. We'll see. We're free. And the older down there to the women and children, we're free. We're free. Hallelujah, I'm free. I'm justified. Glory, hallelujah. Because the sun was up. Hallelujah. And oh, the Son, Lord Jesus Christ, he's up. Amen. He is risen from the dead. And in Christ I live. Hallelujah. Oh my. So many of us don't enjoy our salvation. I'm going to tell you, I enjoy my salvation. I enjoy what the Lord has done for me. Hallelujah. Do you? And your life will prove that you do. Yeah. Oh, when man had sold out to sin, and when the Son of God came up out of the grave that morning for our justification, I think it ought to be a scream across our nation. Hallelujah. We are free from sin and shame. freely pardoned by the bonds of Calvary. No greater thing could he have given to the human race. Hallelujah. What to know you're free. He died for your sins. Back in the time rather of Israel. And Israel, I'm going to have to hurry up for this morning. I'm just kind of reading right now and get to our main message here a little later. Back in time rather of Israel, when Israel had to kill the lamb to place the blood upon the lintel of the doorpost, God required that. And that token must be there, no matter what other position. He said their men had to have showed that they were circumcised Israelites. They might have confessed that. We believe every word that Jehovah says. They might have confessed they were circumcised. But what if they wasn't? But that didn't expel it. They had to display the token. The blood must be shown. That's the way it is tonight. I believe that every Christian has to display the blood of Jesus Christ that's cleansed them from the things of the world. Regardless, he says. Now in that time, the token must be on the door. It must be there regardless of how religious the house was, see, or how religious the people, or how well they had brought up their children, or how fine they attended church, or how well they had displayed all things that God had said, is still at that last hour where it showed between death and life, just like it did with Judas. The blood had to be displayed, and the blood showed that an innocent substitute had been taken in its place of the worshiper. Remember these things as I'm reading them, because Lord willing, this evening, I want it fresh in your mind. And the chemistry of the blood, the red blood itself, was a sign on the door that this house was safe under the blood. Now that was a type. Now in these last days, we're coming back again to the hour of God delivering His church. I believe, he says, as certain as that blood had to stand for a memorial, so does the token have to be. It's required today. For now, they could not take the chemistry of the blood of the Lord Jesus and place it upon every heart's door. Or he says, for now, they could not take the chemistry of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and place it upon every heart's door. But you see, that time an animal died, which was a lamb. And to show that the animal was dead, the blood was on the door. So the life that was in the animal could not come upon the worshiper, because the animal doesn't have a soul. So the life that was in the animal could not come upon the worshiper, he says again. But today, why don't you sisters come on up for this morning, we'll close off. But today, when the blood of God's own Son was shed at Calvary for our pardoning and release, can you really believe that? Is it really real to you?
Amen.
That the Lord Jesus Christ died on that cross for you? And you know it's for you.
Amen.
Do you want to know how the only way you're going to know it was for you? That token's in your life. Now, if a token ain't there, it's just, I believe it, Brother Steve. I agree with that. Glory, hallelujah. I know it was. And you know what? You ain't got no more justification than that light bulb does. Because it isn't made real to you. I'll show you. The life that was in the blood was God Himself. And the Holy Spirit returns upon His church, upon His believer. And it's a token in these last days that He will pass over the man or woman that's accepted the death of Jesus Christ as their substitute. And the Holy Spirit bears record. Huh? I remember, but what if this thing is going on the same things I did 30, 40 years ago? And I just ain't quitting. And it just ain't overcoming. There's no way you can sit there and know for sure you even got a token. Because you're not an overcomer. That's the only way you know, is if you're an overcomer. The literal life of Jesus Christ on display, then you know where you stand in God. And you wonder why I've hammered, I should say the Holy Ghost, because He's hammered it in my heart, so I hammer it to you. Why it's so important today to have the new birth. And not think you do, but know you do. And have the life to back it up. And doing things over and over again, the same things over and over again and over and over again, is no backing up. You got the token. No. Impossible. Otherwise, God's word wouldn't mean nothing when he talks about an overcomer. It wouldn't mean nothing because there's no such thing as overcoming, but I can still be a believer. No, you can't. The Holy Spirit bears record. You might say, I've accepted it. Oh, a lot of people in this message say, I accept it. Praise God. Brother Brandon was a messenger today. I accept it. And you still live in the world? You still live like the world? And the world always gets their feelings hurt. Oh, yeah. That's the world. Living like little pamperfied babies with diapers on. Oh, you hurt my feelings. You hurt my feelings. You're thinking bad about me. You hurt my feelings. You got one big problem, and that's your feeling, and your feeling ain't Christ. As Brother Branham said, the Holy Ghost is not easily offended. He knew what he's talking about. You might say, I've accepted it. You still live in the world. You still live like the world. Then there's no evidence that the life was for you. There's no evidence the life was for you. If the evidence is not there that the life was for me, then surely justification ain't either. Huh. Until that evidence of the Holy Spirit has struck into your life, there is God's requirement that every man or woman must have that evidence as a token in this last day when I see the blood. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, the water and spirit, he will in no wise enter into the kingdom. Remember my question? How do you know you're going to heaven? That was the first one. Second one was, how do you know, or how do you know how you stand before God right now? How do you know? Therefore, it's been God's program all the time, blood. It was blood in the Old Testament. It was blood in the New Testament. And in the Old Testament was the chemistry, which was the type of the life that is to come. It showed that there was a substitute taken, but the worshiper went out with the same guilty conscience that he had when he came in and offered his lamb. What do you think is happening today? People are still going out with the same guilty conscience. I done this, I done that. I can't quit this, I can't quit that. I need this, I need that. Yeah, we do need him. But I'm going to tell you what, I'm just trying to bring you to realization, saints, in closing for this morning. You better know where you're at when that rapture takes place. Okay? And remember, I'm trying to help you. But if I don't tell you the truth, I'm not helping you. The truth may hurt, friends, but I'd rather have the truth hurt me now than have to stand before God in judgment. Amen. You see? I know a lot of people don't feel that way. There's a lot of preachers don't feel that way. But that's the only way I can see it. If I truly love you. Yeah. I tell you because I don't want you to be lost. Well, Brother Steve, you make me feel like I ain't even born again. If you ain't, you need to know it. Brother, I want you to know I'm 102 years old. I received it back in Pentecost. I don't care how many Pentecosts you went through. If your life don't show today you got it, you still ain't got it. I don't care how many times hands was laid on you and how many chivers and quills you got and all kinds of things. Today, God's Word tells you exactly what the Holy Ghost is. What that new birth will do. If it don't do it, you ain't got it. It's ours to it. God help us. Amen. Oh, my. Amen. But we're going to talk about tonight again, Lord willing. If he tarries, and if I live, because I may not live today, who knows. But if I live, it's his will. We're going to talk about true justification. Amen. Glory. Amen. To his word. Glory. I want to know where I'm at, saints. Lord, I don't want to be like these denominations out here, even a lot of these message churches, they don't know. They're so confused, and they'll tell you they're confused. I'm telling you, one minute they believe there's a this, and the next minute they don't. And actually, you'll find out if I get far enough this evening, you'll see again why, like I made the statement Thursday night, how it seems like so many of them is, what's the big deal with the change in the soul? What's the big deal? You're going to find out where it falls in at. Oh, and if you ain't got a change of soul, there is no true justification in your life. Impossible. Oh, yeah. Impossible. Now let's see if it's a big deal. Oh, yeah. You're going to find out it's a real big deal.
Amen.
Yeah. Well, what makes it different? You don't believe it this way and believe it that way. It's all in the Bible. It's all there. You better know which way it is. But that's getting to be the thing, not on that marriage and divorce and everything else. It just seems like, just as long as we can all get along, who cares what we believe? I'm going to tell you what, it makes a big difference what I believe. Because man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds in the Bible, friend, the Word of God.
Amen.
Makes a big difference to me. That's the same thing, Judas. That's the same thing the devil did clear back in the garden. And people are so blind they can't see it. Oh, my. But I'm going to tell you what, there is a difference.
Amen.
Amen. I want every word. Amen. And if it's a revelation, you're going to know exactly where it is and what it is in your life. Amen. Glory. Amen. Let's all stand. If you would please. Hallelujah. Glory to His name. Amen. Anybody got a song you want to sing? Hallelujah. Anybody at all? Brother Josh.
Jesus, the light of the world.
Amen. Isn't He the light of the world? Amen. Oh my, then if you know you're serving Him and He's truly the light of the world in your heart, oh, hallelujah. You don't have to stand there, oh, I don't know if He is in my life or not. You know, I can't quit doing this. And ain't much of a light in your world. But by Him being in you and you overcoming, and His life coming forward, you know He's the light of your world, friends. Amen. Oh, walk in the light. Beautiful light, come where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, light of the world, amen. Oh, we'll walk in the light, beautiful light, come where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Amen. Glory. We'll walk in the light. Oh, the glorious, glorious light. Come where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world. Amen. Glory. You walking in that light? Oh, thank God for His mercy. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we truly want to thank You again for Your precious word, Lord. And Father, I just trust again, as I've said many times after our morning service, Lord, I'm just asking somehow You just keep these things fresh in our heart. So when we get here this evening, Father, we'll be here hungering and ready to hear the word of God, Lord, and not nobody coming in here coming to hear me, Lord. I'm clear out of the picture. I want them to hear Your word, Lord. Your precious, pure, unadulterated word, where everything is exactly the way You want to be. Lord, and give us revelation, oh God. May we be crying out for revelation. Lord, we need faith, revelation more than anything else in this life, because we know that if You give us the revelation word, Lord, everything else will fall right in place the way it needs to be. So ask, Lord, that You would do that for us. And oh, God, just lead us by Your Holy Spirit this afternoon. May we stay in the Spirit, Lord. Oh, God, and consecrate our lives to You and just stay right there in there for You, Lord. Bless us now. And as we wait on You to lead us for this evening service, it be Your will, Lord. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask this. Amen. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, amen. Hallelujah. I'm thinking of some things I've already read. Thank you. Amen. Glory. Stimulation of revelation. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How could you set a man's pants on fire and tell him to sit down? As He said, it's impossible. I don't know about you, but I want to know I'm free. I want to know I'm justified. Really, truly justified. Glory to God. Nothing stand in your road. Amen. You know that when you come before God, Hallelujah. There's that blood stain between you and it, and you're free from sin. You're free from all them past things you've done in your life. It's all gone, and he can't even remember it.
Amen.
I got to quit. I'm going to get ahead of myself. Hallelujah. But it's got to be reality.
Amen.
It's got to be a revelation. Amen. What was the sense in him dying on the cross for me, and then me have to sit there and keep carrying all my sins and burdens around me, all I've done in my life? But no, he gave us all things. Hallelujah. And them whom he's predestinated, he's justified. Them whom he's justified, he's also glorified. What's that? Esteem glorious. Hallelujah. Amen. We've got to see it how God sees it. Amen. It'll get you ready for a rapture if you get a revelation. Amen. Hallelujah. And then tell me you can do anything to hurt him. Oh, no way. Friends, old Satan's going to have to really try hard to get you to go against that. Oh, not when it's pulsing in your heart, friends. No. Faith in God will move a mighty mountain.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. May God bless you. You're all dismissed. I've held you long enough. Amen. Lord, we'll see you this evening. Amen. Glory to his name.